About the recipe for a burning heart, and when I talk about a burning heart, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, a burning heart. It's like a heart that's on fire with passion and desire for Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. And about 2 months ago, my daughter had this like special choir thing that she was in Mitchell concert that we were going to. So we are driving to Mitchell, and which I enjoy because they have a good coffee shop that I really like in Mitchell. And so we're going there. But I remember just like on the drive, on the way there, like out of the blue, all of a sudden, I just started, like the Spirit of God just started resting on me. Like I just felt His presence. And it was just like, it wasn't like Him coming on me to minister to somebody. It was just His Spirit resting on me, where I could feel His love, and worship was just kindled in my heart. And I was just quietly, as I drove in the car with my family, I was just quietly just praying in tongues, worshiping, just feeling the presence of the Lord. And He stayed on me. We went into the coffee shop. He stayed on me. Came out of the coffee shop, got back in the car. He was on me. We go to the concert. I remember we walk into the auditorium where they're having the concert. I sit there as they're doing their concert. The whole concert, He's just on me. And I'm just, my heart is caught up in this communion, in fellowship, in worship. Concert ends. I tell my daughter she did a great job. We get back in the car. He's still on me. I'm driving home. He's resting on me. It was just like this rich communion with the Spirit. And I remember that happened like multiple times that week, just out of the blue, where in the middle of whatever, I wasn't even doing like a godly activity, so to speak. It wasn't even like my prayer time. He just showed up, and it felt like He rested on me for hours. And I was just, even though I was talking and interacting with people, at the same time, I was interacting with the Holy Spirit. I was worshiping. I was like praying in tongues quietly under my breath and just feeling the love of God. And I was just like, this is why I'm alive. This is what I live for. This is the best of the best. This is the happiest of happy places. I love you. I love you. I love you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've been there. It's just like you're giddy. When He rests on you and you feel His love like that, you're just like, you're so beautiful. I have nothing else I'd rather be doing. I'm here. And it was like for 2 hours or so, I felt like I was just in communion for 2 hours with the Lord. And then, and that happened many times throughout the week. And that's happened a lot of times to me over the years. You know, that's not that unusual. But I really took notice of it because I felt like the Lord pointed this out to me. I felt like He says, I'm like, that's so cool when you just show up out of the blue. I love it when you do that. You know, there's those times when I'm going to pray and then I encounter His presence and like, that's good. But I love it when He's just like, I just want to come and hang out with you. And He just comes out of the blue. But this is what he stirred up in my heart. He says, Jeff, because since early in the year, I've been fasting 2 days a week. I've been fasting 2 days a week for one reason and one reason only. I'm like, God, I want to feel Your presence. I want You to tenderize my heart where I feel the Holy Spirit more deeply and where I feel Him more consistently throughout my day. And I want a fascinated heart. I want a heart where I'm feeling the presence of the Lord, and I'm meditating on some aspect of how awesome He is, and my heart is fascinated and alive and burning with passion. I'm like, God, this is what I want. And I know that comes as a gift from God. You can't work that kind of passion up. You can't work it up. It's not about like if I jump hard enough, it's like you can't work it up. It's the gift of God. It's grace. He comes inside of us, and He is fire. Our God is a consuming fire. He comes in us, and then it's like, oh, You're so real. You're so wonderful. You're so alive. That's what Joseph was experiencing that day. He didn't have the language. He's like, I'm just new. I'm new. I'm just, and all of a sudden he doesn't have desires for bad things. And now he has desires for the word and for testifying about Jesus and the presence of God. It's a gift from the Lord. The Lord just spoke to me. He's like, Jeff, this is in response to like the fasting you've been doing. And I've been doing it for months, many months, 2 days a week for that one reason. Because when I do that, when I get into a rhythm of fasting in my life, my heart gets more tender before the Lord, and I feel Him more. It's just the way it is. And so, and I've done this in many other seasons of my life. I've had I remember 2007 was a year where the Lord just really was calling me into fasting, and I did the same thing. I'd fast Wednesdays and Fridays. And when I did, man, my heart was so tender. I would just feel the Lord like so frequently. It was just not uncommon at all, where I'd just be going through the middle of my day doing whatever kind of activity, and the Spirit would be upon me, and I'd be like, oh, this is so good. This is the happiest place. But what happened is earlier in the year is I felt like, I'm like, God, I feel your presence, but I'm not feeling you as deeply and as consistently as I was in other seasons of my life. This is early in the year in 2019. And I knew what to do because I have this history with the Lord. I'm like, I'm just going to start fasting again. I'm going to start fasting, make my heart tender. And eventually, it doesn't happen always on day one, but eventually the heart gets softer and softer, and you just start feeling his presence more, and it comes and rests on you more. This is my main point today. I'm just going to give it to you right now. You know, many times people fast. You know, we recognize how many of you know the Holy Spirit is power? Amen? I mean, and we fast many times to encounter the power of God in healing. God, anoint me to heal the sick. And that's good, amen? Anoint me for deliverance to set the captives free from demonic bondage. And we fast to see the power of God breaking in this way. But I want to talk to you about my favorite kind of fasting and my favorite dimension of the power of God. There is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit's power that will rest upon our hearts, revealing the love of God to us and anointing us to love him back wholeheartedly all at the same time. Did you get that? So we fast. Dorian could say, God, I'm going to fast. I want the anointing, I want the power of the Holy Spirit to heal the sick. And he could fast. God will answer his prayer, right? But then there's this other power dimension that I think a lot of people don't think about, but it's real. I'm going to show you in the scripture right now, where we say, God, I want the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit to rest on my heart. Anoint me to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And how that looks like when he comes on you like that, when you pray for the anointing to heal the sick and the power of the Spirit is manifesting through you in that way, it looks like people start getting healed. But when the Spirit's power manifests on your heart, anointing you to love God, it looks like you encountering the love of God for you. And then it awakens love back for him that's wholehearted. Is this making sense? And here's my thing. I believe that, to me, this is the most important anointing of God I want working in my life. I want to heal the sick. I want to raise the dead. I want to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring salvation. I've fasted for those things. But you know what I want more than all of it? I want to succeed at loving God with all my heart all the days of my life. And I know that I cannot do it apart from the power of the Spirit stirring up, revealing God's love for me. Like, not just once, not just the day I'm born again, but I need to keep loving him. And so I need that continual manifestation of the Spirit's power, revealing God's love for me and stirring up love for God in me. And so I'll read it to you. I'm going to read to you about this manifestation of the Spirit's power. Ephesians chapter 3, 16 through 19. Paul writes to the church. He's actually praying for them right here. He's like, I pray that the power of the Spirit would rest on you and anoint your heart to know his love and to love him back. This is what he's talking about. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with what? With what? Okay. Through, how does he get that power? Through his Spirit, where is it? In our inner being. So that, here's why, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, here it is, may have what? May have power together with all the Lord's holy people, here's what it does, this anointing, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love. You could substitute the word know for experience in that sentence. And to experience this love that surpasses knowledge. Why? That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. How many of you want that? Amen? It's like there's this manifestation of the Spirit's power that anoints us to know God's love and then love him back with our whole heart. And I think we need to contend for that anointing to rest on us in the same way we would contend for other anointings. I would say even more than the other anointings, because worship is first, amen? So I'm going to give you a recipe for a burning heart. And I'll just, I think this might be a blank on your sheet. I don't know. I made those over a week ago, so I can't remember exactly what I put on your sheet. But do I have a blank next? Okay, good. Okay, get your Bible, read it, and ask Holy Spirit to explain it to you, showing you God's beauty. I'll explain this. And then sprinkle in some fasting. Do I have fasting on there? Okay, sprinkle in some fasting. It's the recipe for a burning heart. Get a big lump of Bible. Get another lump of prayer, asking Holy Spirit, explain the scriptures to me and show me Jesus' beauty. And then sprinkle in some fasting, mix it all together, and voila, a burning heart. I want to just make this thing statement about fasting. Fasting doesn't earn anything from God. It's not like if you fast long enough, then I know you're serious and I'll give it to you. It's what fasting does. It removes distractions from our life so that we can look at God in an undistracted, focused way. And the more we behold his beauty, the more his love and worship fills our heart with passion for him. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask, this is David writing. He says, there's one thing I ask from the Lord. Now, I just want to make this statement. You know what God said about David? Okay, this isn't David writing about himself. In Acts, God writes a testimony about, this is how I see David. God says, he's a man. He says, I have found David, son of Jesse. He's a man after my own heart. He will always do what pleases me. He's like, I know he's going to do what pleases me because he loves me with all his heart. It's like, what is it about David's heart that just made God so happy? He's like, I'm going out of my way to choose you and bless you and work with you. You're the kind of person I want. It's right here. David says, there's really one thing that I'm asking from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. David's like, you could come up to David, be like, David, I mean, dude, you lived the most exciting, awesome life ever. Like, what's the most exciting moment of your life? Like, slaying Goliath, that had to be cool. I mean, you took him down in front of both armies and won a great victory. That had to feel so good. David's like, yeah, that was cool. Well, David, you know, what was it? Was it when you got anointed to be king? When the prophet came up to you in front of your brothers and your family who was kind of looking down on you, and in front of them, God vindicated you and honored you in front of them and says, I've chosen you to be king. Was that just the most exciting day of your life? He's like, I mean, yeah, that was cool. But I think David would say, I'll tell you what's the most exciting thing, this one thing I want above all else. When I see the beauty of the Lord. And here's what I mean by the beauty of the Lord, because that phrase can be like, how do you look upon the beauty of the Lord? Because I can't see him right now. We physically can't see God with our eyeballs in this room right now, right? So what does it mean to gaze upon his beauty? The beauty of the Lord is it's what makes him beautiful. It's his nature. The glory of the Lord is what makes him glorious. It's the different facets and the aspects of his personality, of his nature, of his character. So to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, it's like let's just pick one facet, his wisdom. How many of you know God is wise? Okay, but you know, like God, Holy Spirit in you can open your eyes. And so we know like in our head, God is wise. That's good. But it's like, well, that's good. I'm glad. Logically, I can think, well, that's nice to know. But it's not impacting your heart yet. It's just head knowledge. You guys with me? But then the Holy Spirit reveals the wisdom of God to you in some way, and he opens the eyes of your heart to see it. and your heart is moved with emotion, delighting in the beauty of God in his wisdom. And it all of a sudden, it's like you're so beautiful. Any aspect of his nature whatsoever, it doesn't matter what it is, when the Spirit opens your eyes to see it and makes it real to you, he reveals it to you, you will be moved into worship. It's automatic. I mean, you could take God, the Holy Spirit could come and take the justice of God. I mean, this is crazy. I was reading in Isaiah 63 yesterday, just in my Bible reading. And Isaiah describes vividly the end of the age when Jesus returns and brings his wrath upon his enemies. I mean, Jesus is like, he's like, his garments are stained with blood from physically killing his enemies. And he describes it vividly. And you know what? He describes it. And you know, like right after that, the next thing that Isaiah does, he bursts into this song of praise. He's like, God, and he actually says this. He's like, you're good and your mercy and your kindness. That's the response of his heart when he sees like even God's justice being poured out on his enemies. When he sees it, it's revealed to him by the Spirit. He's like, you're beautiful. This is beautiful about you. You're so good. You're so merciful. You're so kind. I'm like, wow. But this is true. Any aspect of God's nature, his wisdom, his love, his justice, his mercy, he's patient. He's kind. He's faithful. He's an amazing deliverer. He's an amazing rescuer. He's mighty to save. You can gaze upon, say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes to understand more deeply how awesome Jesus is as a deliverer. And the Spirit will start just showing you things, and your heart will marvel. And you know what happens? Your heart becomes fascinated with God. When the Spirit reveals God's nature, his beauty to us, our heart becomes fascinated with God. And you know, when a heart is fascinated with God, it's like we're content in life. Even if circumstances are like chaos and swirling all around us and there's negative things happening, there's a peace in our heart. There's a joy in our soul because we see the faithfulness, the goodness, the beauty of the Lord. Are you guys getting this? I'm doing my best. About the gentleness of God. The zeal of God. His zeal is, beautiful. I'm serious. Oh, he's intense. His zeal is intense. Those eyes of blazing fire, they're the real deal. I've had those experiences with the Lord where I see his zeal and I have this twin emotions going on in my heart, okay? On one, I'm like, ooh, you're so beautiful. You're so lovely. I love this. And on the other, I'm like kind of scared because he's so intense, yet he's so beautiful and it's pure and it's absolutely holy. His zeal for righteousness, his zeal for purity, the fact that he's incorruptible. Oh my goodness. His joy. Have you ever seen God dance? Have you ever seen the joy of the Lord? I mean, I've seen it so many times. He is the most joyful, radiant, happy person I've ever known in my entire life. Seriously. Listen, he can be intense in his judgments and his wrath, and yet at the same time, he's the most happy, whole, peaceful person that I've ever known in my entire life. I love this. The Bible says the bride of Christ in the Song of Solomon is going on about all these different aspects of her, what makes her beloved beautiful to her. And then she just goes listing attribute after attribute. She's like, he's like this, he's like this, he's like this, and then there's this, and he's like this, and she goes on and on and on. Because here, you know what triggered that? What triggered the explosion of gushing affection on her bridegroom was somebody came up to her and said, why do you love your beloved so much? What's so great about him? She's like, oh, I'm so glad you asked. gushing out of the overflow of her heart. He's like this, and he's like this, and he's like this. And then finally she just sums it all up at the end. She goes, my beloved, listen, he's altogether lovely. Like every aspect, it's like, it's not just that he's just. That's so awesome that he's just. He's incorruptible. People aren't going to get away with wicked things forever. He's just. He's a good God. He's a faithful judge. He can't be corrupted. He can't be purchased. He can't be bought off. He doesn't show favoritism. Yet at the same time, he's filled with mercy. And it's not just that he's just or just that he's merciful. It's all of his attributes together in perfect harmony that just like, you are altogether lovely. And I'm telling you, when the Spirit reveals God's beauty to you from the head to the heart, okay, passion erupts in your soul. You will have a fascinated heart. You know why so many people have addictions in life? It's because of inner boredom. People are so bored on the inside. What am I going to do? Let's scroll through Facebook again. I just did this 5 minutes ago, but let's just see if there's a new post. Well, let's just play video games. Or why? It's because it's like, well, it gives me a rush. It gives me this. And it's like there's an inner boredom, and they're trying to get fascinated. Do you know that God created human beings to live with a fascinated heart? And when we're not connected with the Lord, seeing his beauty, there's inner boredom on the inside. So we try to get the fascination. Well, I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to be the best at this. And everybody's going to praise me and think I'm awesome. And then I'm going to have fascination. And then people who actually do that, they find out I'm just as bored on the inside as I was before. Well, I'm going to work out this year. 2020 is the year of getting buff. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get strong. I'm going to look awesome in my swimsuit in the summertime. It's going to be so good. And it's like makes you happy for a little bit. I got focus. I got purpose. I got reason for living now. And then after a while, it's like, doesn't really satisfy it. I'm just as bored on the inside as I was before. The answer is going back to the whole reason you were even made in the first place. You were made for him. You were made to be in union with him, where you're receiving his love and a returning it back to him. And you're fascinated with the beauty and the splendor of God. You get so excited about your future. You're so, because when you understand his heart and his plans. So how can I see the beauty of the Lord? How can I get the Spirit to do that for me? That sounds cool, Jeff. Like, well, you know, how do I get him to do that kind of thing for me? I'm going to tell you how. I already did tell you how, but I'm going to tell you again. Luke 24, 27 and 32. Listen to this. So this is after Jesus was resurrected. Two of his disciples are walking along the road and they're talking to each other and they're like trying to figure out. They're like, man, Jesus, he was like crucified. Then he was buried. And now like people are talking that he's not there anymore. Like his body isn't there. They're like, what's going on? I don't understand. And then without them knowing about it, Jesus walks up and disguises himself as a stranger so they don't recognize who he is. And he just starts talking to them. And I love this. He asked them a question. He's like, hey, what are you guys talking about? And I love this. You know what they say to him? They're like, man, like they basically, they're like, you don't know what's going on? Are you kidding me? Everybody knows what's going on. Jesus was crucified. He was doing all these miracles, but now he's not there anymore in the grave, and we don't really know for sure what's happened to him. They're like, come on, get with it. You don't know what's going on? Jesus is like, you have no idea. So they're walking along. He lets them talk for a little while, and then he speaks. And it says, then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets. That's the entire Old Testament scriptures. Explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I read that and I'm like, the best day of your life. That's what that just described. Could you imagine? Just going on a walk, Jesus in the flesh, physically, he walks up beside you and he just says, you know what? And he starts with Genesis and goes all the way through Malachi. and explains to you the scriptures concerning himself. One-on-one. Oh, you never forget that day. I read that, I'm like, Dad, I'm no fair. Like, I want that. I want that. And listen to the result. Later, he revealed himself to them, and they realized who he was. Then he suddenly disappeared. And they looked at each other amazed, and they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? So I read this scripture. I'm going to give you a prayer. I think it's on your sheet. Do I have a prayer on your sheet? Okay. You're welcome. This is a good prayer. It works well for me. I give it to you. I read this scripture, and this is the prayer that came out of my heart. I say, God, Holy Spirit, cause my heart to burn with desire for you and your kingdom as you explain the scriptures to me. I encourage you, pray that when you read the Bible. Just say, Holy Spirit, you're living in me. Cause my heart to burn with desire for Jesus and for his kingdom as you explain the scriptures to me about him. Show me the beauty of God. Cause my heart to burn with desire as you show me your beauty. That's how you do it. It's that simple, honestly. How do I get a burning heart? There it is. Just open the Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit, explain the scriptures to me. Give me a heart that burns with desire for you. Show me your beauty. And then just keep reading and he'll do the rest. And then when you see something in your heart and you go, oh my goodness, that's incredible. Don't keep reading. Just stop and then stay there and meditate on it and then respond with worship. That's it. That's what you do. I'm going to tell you, this will work for anyone. I just want to encourage you with that. Absolutely anyone. Like, no exceptions if you'll commit to it. You have to devote yourself to this lifestyle. So it's not like, I mean, you know, it's not like every time I'm reading the Bible that this experience is happening to me. There are often times I read the Bible, I'm like, okay, I read it, I'm tired, I'm whatever it is. I'm like, okay, I have to reread the same paragraph 5 times because I mentally checked out the first 4 times I read it. Have you guys ever had that happen? It's like, crud, I just read that again and totally don't even know what it said. Go back. This time I'm going to pay attention. And then my mind wanders. And I'm like, oh, I did it again. And you go back. I mean, I have that happen. But listen, this is like if you devote yourself a rhythm of life where I'm like, I want to honor the Lord. Holy Spirit, show me the beauty of Jesus and read the word. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen. He's going to show it to you. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's dramatic. But all of it adds up together. And it's the recipe for a burning heart. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. We see this, somebody else doing this same recipe, and it's working for her. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary, listen to this, sat at the Lord's feet. What was she doing? Listening to his word, right? It's the same thing we do now when we sit down, we open up the Bible, and we start reading. We're doing what Mary was doing here. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come to me and help me. Now, I think Martha, I just got to say, this is a good woman. She does love Jesus. Like, there's other scriptures. Like, she's pretty cool. This is just one of her not shining moments. And God just chose to put it in the eternal scriptures forever. But it's because it teaches us a good lesson. She's glad it's there, I'm sure. But she's busy. Life is happening. She's got Jesus and at least 12 disciples have just come over to her house, and she's got a lot of mouths to feed. How many of you know feeding at least 12 people in addition to what you normally feed in your house? That is a lot of work. And so she's like working like crazy. And she's mad because her sister's not helping her. She's like, I got 12 mouths to feed at least. And all you're doing is sitting there just googly-eyed, looking at Jesus, hanging on his words with this burning, fascinated heart. Don't you think I would like to do that too? But there's work that's got to be done. People need to get fed. So she's like, I'm going to go to Jesus. She'll listen to him. So she goes to Jesus and makes her appeal. She goes, Jesus, don't you think this is pretty unfair? Jesus responds, listen to this. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, he likes Martha. I mean, he loves her a lot. He's not mad at her. He's trying to help her. He goes, you are worried and upset over all these details. You know what? I think this is what I've noticed in life. When I get away from a one-thing lifestyle of sitting at his feet, gazing upon the beauty of the Lord, the things of life cause me, I carry a lot more anxiety and worry and being upset just about stuff. And he's like, let's look at this. He says, you are worried and upset over these details. Listen to this. There is only what? Does that sound familiar? It's the one thing David found in Psalm 27. He says, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. He's like, actually, if you want, Martha, I'll be okay without the meal. Why don't you just sit here too and enjoy my companionship, because I enjoy your companionship just as much. People who are close to God, who have a fascinated, burning heart, you know what? They're not any better than everybody else, because it's available to everybody. They've just chosen to sit at his feet and make that a priority in their life. Therefore, they get the burning heart. It's available to all. Sitting at his feet, meditating on his word. Jesus, I choose to live a one thing lifestyle of sitting at your feet, listening to your word as you explain it to me, gazing upon your beauty with a fascinated heart of worship. This is what I want. This is what you love most. This is what you were created for. This is what you were created for. The fascinated heart is actually part of your inheritance in Jesus. It's so sad, though, that so many believers live without it. Really. So many believers, they're good people, they're good moral people. They do believe in Jesus. They go to church. They try to obey God. They may even lead some people to Jesus. They may be in ministry. They can be full-time missionaries. And they're just pouring themselves out, working, 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 working. But they live without a fascinated heart. And what ends up happening is when you live without the fascinated heart, you burn out. Eventually, you hit a dead end. You crash. Because you were not designed to be able to sustain that without the fuel of seeing the Lord's beauty on a regular basis. Or what ends up happening even more sadly is we build Ishmaels. We do things he never really told us to do, and we do it in our own strength, and we do it in our own power, and we try to like, oh, the Lord wants this, so I'm going to do this, and that's going to work. And he's like, that wasn't my way. If you're listening to me, I would have told you that this was the way, and that's how the promise was going to come. Is this making sense? Yeah, this is a reality. And so I choose, and I have to re-sign up for this all the time. This is what I'm doing this month. But I choose. I'm like, I choose one thing. And when I get away from it, Holy Spirit, call me back to it. Alert me, Jeff. You're worried and upset about all this stuff. Only one thing's needed. Come back to me. Come back to your first love. Sit at my feet. Settle down. Don't worry. The world will be okay. It's managed without you, me taking care of it long enough. It'll be all right. Sit at my feet. Listen to my word. Gaze upon my beauty. Get your heart refocused and reset. Then you'll be in a position of strength where I can work through you to bring blessing to these other things. Luke chapter 5, last scripture I want to look at today. It's a type of fast that's unique. One day, some people said to Jesus, hey, John the Baptist disciples fast and pray regularly. Everybody say regularly. And so do the disciples of the Pharisees. So why are your disciples always eating and drinking? They're like, how come they're not fasting? And he said to them, he told them why. He says, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom, that's Jesus, will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. It's talking about, here's the deal, is the disciples are walking around face to face with Jesus all the time. They're enjoying the bridegroom's companionship. But then eventually he dies, he's resurrected, they're all happy again. He's with us again! He's right here! They're looking at him, they're eating, they're touching, you know, they're putting their finger through the hole in his hands or in his side or whatever it is. I mean, they're like, they're there with him, they're enjoying his companionship, all is well because he has become the delight of their life. And then he's like, I'm leaving. I'm like, what? He's like, I'm leaving, you just got back. What do you mean you're leaving? He's like, I'm ascending into heaven. And they're like perplexed. What? He's like, don't worry. It's better for you that I go away. Because when I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And then he ascends up into heaven. And all of a sudden, they're longing to enjoy his companionship again. And so they fast as an expression of their mourning. Thank God. I miss your companionship, Jesus. I miss the conversations we could have. I miss being able to talk to you and get some counsel from you for this thing I'm going through. Or God, I miss you. I'm longing for your companionship. And so in the Bible, when you're longing, your mourning, spiritual mourning, is a natural expression is you fast. That's what Jesus says. When I'm gone, they'll fast. But I'm with them right now. They're enjoying my companionship. And so they fast. They're saying, God, we miss you. We miss your companionship. And then God responds by releasing the Spirit's power upon their hearts, causing them to delight in his loving presence again. And now the Holy Spirit in us is just as good as Jesus sitting before us in the flesh. Because he talks to us the same way. We can hear his voice. We can ask his counsel. He comforts us. He speaks to us. He guides us. He trains us. He leads us. He convicts us. He encourages us. He inspires us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Are you guys with me? So this is, you know, they call this the bridegroom fast. It's a unique type of fast because it's not fasting for his power to heal the sick. It's not fasting for to break in and intervene in some situation with his power and make the wrong thing right. It's not fasting for his protection. It's fasting for his companionship. That intimate communion with him. It's the longing of our heart. God, I miss you. That's why earlier in the year, I know what to do now. When I was like, I'm not feeling as close to you as I was in other seasons. So what I'm longing, I'm mourning, I'm not okay with that. So I'm like, I know, I'm just going to start fasting twice a week. And I started doing that, and the heart starts softening, and I start feeling his presence, and that burning heart just starts to get hotter. That is what we're fasting for this month. Again, fasting, we're not earning stuff. We're removing the distractions. Get out of my sight so I can gaze upon his beauty in a focused way. And it's just a matter of time. Just keep looking at his beauty, asking the Holy Spirit to explain it to you. It's just a matter of time till that heart erupts with fire again. How would you like to encounter God's presence? Anybody? How many of you want to see his beauty? You want to live? How many of you want to live with a fascinated heart of worship instead of inner boredom? This is the recipe. Obviously, it's a light. It's surrendered to Jesus to follow him. But then we seek him. We sit before him. We read the Bible. We ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to us, showing us his beauty. Sprinkle in some fasting. Voila. And I want to just encourage you, stick with it. It's not like, I remember, this happens to me a lot of times. I remember one day I'm having a fasting day. This is several months ago. And I got up to spend time with the Lord in the morning like I usually do. And I'm reading my Bible and praying. And to be honest, it was boring. I was kind of like, it was one of those mornings I was having a hard time getting into it. I was just kind of forcing my way through it. Discipline. And I'm kind of doing that. And I'm just like, ugh. And then my time was done. And I had to go on and do other things. And so I'm like, okay, well, I sought the Lord. And I moved on with my day. and I was doing whatever I was doing. But you know, a few hours later, out of the blue, in the middle of whatever it was I was doing, the Spirit just comes and rests on me. And I'm in that communion. I'm like, ooh, this is so good. I'm like, man, you know, and I just, it's, he's so faithful. When you reach to him, he's going to reach back. Here's the thing. We think we're reaching to him first, trying to get him to respond to us by reaching back. But do you know what really is happening? The very fact that you have this desire stirring in you to want to reach to him is him reaching to you first. And you're responding by like, God, I have this desire. I want you. And you reach to him. And then he's like, of course he's going to reach back. He's the one who put it in your heart to reach to him in the first place. It's what he's wanted all along. Amen. So I want to just end by this. I want to just help you get a fasting plan for this month. I think fasting plans are super helpful to just clarify what you're fasting for. So here's some questions. Do I have these on your sheet? Yes. Good. This is going to be nice. When will you fast? The month of January. So I just gave you that answer. We're already doing it. If you're like, oh, dude, I'm not started yet. It's okay. Start today. You can start now. It's all right. So when will you fast? You want to answer that question. And here's another part of a fasting plan. Why are you fasting? What's your goal? What are you seeking God for? How will you be able to measure when the fast is done, whether it was effective or not? And I think that's important. And, you know, we don't want to just fast to fast. We're fasting for a reason. And in this case, it's like, I want your presence. I want a fascinated heart of worship. You guys with me? So write that down. Because why? When you're praying each day and you're fasting, ask him for that. God, tenderize my heart. Give me a fascinated heart of worship. Show me your beauty. So you can write that down. And there may be some other things that are in your heart that God puts unique to you that you're like, I also want a breakthrough in this. And you could ask God for that too and fast for that at the same time. So third part of a fasting plan, what will you fast? Now, everybody in the church, we're encouraging fast media. It's one of, in our day and age, it is one of the greatest things you can do to get those distractions out of your sight so you can look on him. And here's what I mean by distraction. A distraction is that which dominates your thoughts and emotions throughout the day. So God, ask him, what should I fast to be able to focus on you and in the best way this month for me? Because it's different for different people. You know, for me, one of the things I need to fast is like I'm fasting sports, right? But, you know, my wife, she lives fasting sports. She cares less about sports. If she said I'm fasting sports, it's just another day in her life, right? But for me, I'm like, I'm just removing the distraction, right? And some of you, God may speak, some of you may need to fast all things politics. Because you just, you listen to talk radio, you're watching the news, and your emotions get stirred up like five times a day over some latest news article. I can't believe, you know, whatever it is. And it's just like the emotional, when the thoughts are spinning about this, it's like, remove the distraction, that which dominates your thoughts and emotions, and just lock on to Jesus. Some of you, you know, you want to fast social media. Obviously, we're all fasting media. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit, I just gave a couple examples. God will talk to you. But here's what I want to encourage you to do about fasting. This is the important thing. How many of you know it's not just the fast, it's reaching to him genuinely from the heart. That's what matters in a fast. So what you don't want to do is this. Don't do a go through the motions fast. Really set yourself apart from distractions and seek the Lord. What I mean is a go through the motions fast. Like I've had this before. You know, it's like, oh, it's January. I'm part of the church. Our whole church is fasting. Media. Oh man. I guess I have to fast media this month. Okay, I'll do it. But you're just kind of like going through the motions and fasting media, but your heart's not really reaching to the Lord. You guys with me? So I encourage you, don't do that. Don't just be like, I'm going to do the bare minimum. Like, okay, I have to fast media, so I will. But they didn't say what kind of media, so I can kind of do this, you know, or whatever. We create loopholes, right? That's what we can. And it's just like, no, fast from the heart. Like, really, say, Holy Spirit, what are the distractions I need to push aside so I can really lock onto you and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord this month? Amen. So just do it from the heart. God will show you what that is. Then how will you feed your spirit? This is really big during a fast. It's not just going without stuff. It's what are you going to fill in all the extra time in your life that you're not on social media or watching whatever? What are you going to do? Well, fill it in with something that will build your spirit. Look at the beauty of the Lord. And so we have, you know, we have some people who are like, I'm just going to spend like, you know, some people are just like, I'm going to have like three prayer times instead of like my one normal time a day where I seek the Lord. Or like me, some of the stuff I'm doing is I'm just, instead of listening to podcasts on Notre Dame football, I'm listening to podcasts like Christian podcasts, sermons, where I'm meditating on the Word of God. Does that make sense? Instead of reading the news at night to fall asleep while I'm in bed, I'm reading a book, a Christian book, and I'm really getting a lot out of it. I'm enjoying it. I'm listening to the Bible audio as well. So just like, what are you going to do to feed your spirit during the fast? Because it's not about starving your flesh. It's about stuffing your spirit with life. Amen? That's what a fast is. Fasting is feasting for your spirit. And then last thing is, who will you be accountable to? And here's why this is helpful. I like to answer these five questions specifically so I know exactly what I'm fasting, when it starts, when it ends, all that kind of stuff, what I'm fasting for, and then get one or two people, accountability partner, and say, hey, I just want you to know this is what I'm fasting and when I'm doing it, and can you cover me in prayer while I'm fasting? Will you pray that God would do this thing I'm fasting for and agree with me? And I find that so helpful because how many of you are two are better than one? Amen? And so I've had times when I've been fasting. Actually, the Lord called me to a fast. And I was like I was in the middle of the fast. And it was a long fast. And I was like on day 7 or 8 or something like that. And I was like, I think I'm done. Because I was doing it alone. And I'm like, okay, I don't think I want to do this anymore. This isn't very fun. Like, I'm not really feeling God that much. I just feel like I want to eat. And I feel like I want to do this stuff, you know. And your flesh will throw a temper tantrum sometimes when you're fasting. Because it thinks it's boss and you're telling it, no, you're not. Okay, that's what's happening. And so I remember I was so tempted to quit. And I'd actually basically made the decision in my mind to quit. I'm like, I'll just finish up through day 10 and then I'll just stop there. And that'd be good enough. And but the Lord had actually told me to do this fast. And I had told my wife and I had told my son. And so the hard part was like, I'd already made the decision in my mind. If I would have been alone, it would have been easy. I just broke it. But I'm like, oh, my family knows I'm doing this. So I have to tell them, and I explained to them why I'm breaking my fast way early. And so I told my wife, I said, I think I'm good. I think I'm just going to quit after day 10. And she's like, I knew she'd do this. This is why I love her. And it's good to have an accountability partner like this. And she's like, oh, honey, don't do it. It's going to be worth it. Stay with it. You can do it, you know? And of course, my flesh was wanting like, hey, no problem. What do you want me to make for you? I'm like, yeah, that would have been good. But instead, she's like, no, honey, come on. You could do it. I know you can. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And I told Malachi, because he's also an accountability partner for me, my son. And he's like, oh, dad, you could do it. Come on, it's going to be worth it. And those are good accountability partners. That's the kind you want, right? And then I'm like, ugh. And I'm like, gosh, I mean, I could still quit. And then what Autumn did, though, is she gets a hold of like the leadership team at the church. She's like, God told Jeff to fast this many days. He's really being tempted to quit right now. Would you guys pray for him? And they started praying for me. And when all these people started praying for me, all of a sudden, it's like fresh inspiration came into my heart. And that was the strength I needed. And then I was like, okay, I'm not going to quit. And from that point forward, it was like running downhill. It was still fast, but I knew I was going to make it the whole way after that. I got that breakthrough. But I would have quit. I would not have finished the fast if I didn't have the prayer support and the accountability. And that's what I'm talking about there. Who will you be accountable to? So you guys with me? So, all right, I want you guys to stand with me. I just want to pray over you. I want to encourage you this week. Make your fasting plan. Many of you have already done this. Make your fasting plan and just get started on it. It's going to be worth it. And if you're like, oh, on day 6, it's like, oh, no, I caved in and I watched a YouTube video. It's like, it's like just repent and then keep going with the rest of your fast like it never happened. You guys with me? And it's going to be worth it. You know, don't lose heart. There's grace for you. So, Father, I just pray right now that you would release the anointing of the Spirit upon our hearts. The power of the Spirit would manifest through your Spirit in our inner being to know the love of Christ, to experience the love of Christ, to see the beauty of the Lord, to have a burning, fascinated heart of worship that would mark us for the rest of our life. God, that we would never be satisfied with anything less for the rest of our lives. And even when February comes, that we would continue seeking you with our whole hearts, gazing upon the beauty of the Lord, living this one thing lifestyle. God, I ask for a spirit of revelation and wisdom from the Lord to just come and show us the beauty of Jesus. Show us his heart. Show us his nature. Show us his plans and his counsel, that we would delight in who he is. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Love you guys so much. We'll see you next week.